Who were the first big three in Roman times? I, for one, don't know. Do you?
That's the first question for the quiz kids tonight. And that was an actor from Waukegan delivering it. And here they are, the quiz kids. Welcome to our classroom of the year. Folks, get set for a hilarious half hour. And welcome to our very special guest. In case you didn't identify his voice in that first question, here's our own schoolmaster to tell you who it is. The chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and good evening, everyone. We do indeed have a special guest. And we have a little policy around here of putting our guests to work. So, after we get things warmed up, I'm going to turn my cap and gown over to this visiting professor from Waukegan. He's an old friend of ours and a great favorite of yours. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny.
Thank you, thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don... Oh, pardon me. Yeah. I made a mistake there. You said warmed up. You're going to have the class... You mean when it gets a little too hot for you. Isn't that it, Joe? You wanted me to take over the question?
No.
I see some hands raised. What do you...
Now, Jack, now, wait a minute. Don't be apprehensive. You just sit down beside me and put a scholarly look on your face and quit trying to get a plug in for Don Wilson, your announcer. I'm going to call a roll now so we get back to that first question. Harvey?
I'm Harvey Bennett Fishman. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a junior at the South Shore High School in Chicago.
Rochelle?
I'm Michelle Eagley. I'm 6 years old from the Gale School, first grade.
Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 10 years old and 5A in the Volt School in Chicago, Illinois.
Ruthie?
I'm Ruthie Duskin. I'm 11 years old, and I'm in the 8th grade at the University of Chicago School.
Richard?
I'm Richard Weixler. I'm 6 years old, and I go to the 1A at Shakespeare... Cool.
Yeah. And now, children...
Just a minute, Joe.
Huh?
I'm Jackie Benny. I'm 37 years old. And I was born in Waukegan, Illinois in 1894. I went to the Waukegan High School for 12 years. What else happens?
Well, Jack, I'll tell you what now.
What?
You don't seem to get the idea here. You're going to be the teacher tonight, see?
Yeah.
You won't answer questions. You won't be a quiz kid. You'll ask them later on.
I'll do what I please on this program. Ask them. I don't get anything for this, you know. I'm a guest here.
Well, I know. We're very happy to have you with us.
But the little profit I make on a couple of bottles of Alka-Seltzer doesn't amount to...
Well, let's get started here. You just listen to me now, Jack, and see how we go along,
no,
see?
Believe me, I wish I was home.
Well, now, you children heard your first question from Miss Charlotte Caterson of Philadelphia. We all know the big three of modern times, but who were the first big three in Roman times? Joel.
Well, the first triumvirate was Crassus, and... then there was Julius Caesar and Pompey.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Good boy, Joel. That's fine. Now then, Alma S. Jones of Los Angeles, California, knows from reading the newspapers that there are two kinds of uranium atoms, U-235 and U-238. Which of the two kinds is explosive, and what is the difference between them? Ruthie?
Well, first, may I say that there's also another kind, U-234. It's another isotope.
Well, that's right. That's right, Rudy.
Now I'll answer the question. Well, U-235 is the explosive type.
Yes.
And U-238 is the most abundant one. The other one is found in very small quantities. That's why it was so hard to make the atom bomb.
Yes.
And they're both isotopes. The uranium I have these three isotopes.
Well, I'll see you later,
Wait a minute, Jack. Now, here. Now, come on, Becky. Sit down there. Now, sit still. All right, Ruthie, continue.
That means that the atomic structure is different. The atomic weights are different.
Yes, uh-huh.
And so that's the difference between them. U-238 has an atomic weight of 238, and U-235 has an atomic weight.
Do I got to get a haircut? Yeah.
wait just a minute. That's right, Ruthie. That's very, very good. And Jack.
What?
I want you to calm down now and quit being nervous. The questions we have for you to ask aren't as hard as that.
I know, but uranium, plutonium, protons, nylons. I never heard of them.
Last week, we were in Detroit paying homage to the 50th anniversary of the automobile, and now comes a letter from Stanley Shepard of Laguna Beach, California, saying that we have neglected the horse, and we certainly don't want to do that. Richard, you told us how to drive an airplane once. Can you tell us how you would start and stop a horse, make him turn, and put him in reverse? Can you tell us that?
Well, yes, Mr. Kelly.
All right.
How
would you start the horse? How would you start him?
I believe you would crack the whip.
Yes, that would be a very good way.
I could answer that one myself.
What, supposing you didn't have a whip, you'd say something to him. What would you say to get him to start?
Giddy up.
Giddy up. That's it. All right, now, how would you make him stop?
$20,000 a week he gets. Giddy up.
Richard, how would you make him stop?
Well, you would say, whoa.
Whoa, that's right. And so woe to you, Jack Benny, for a minute. Now, we get this question here. How would you make him turn right?
Well, if you had reins, you would pull on the...
Which one?
The left rein.
Oh, to make him go right? No.
No, I believe you would pull on the right.
Well, that's what I thought you meant. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, turn on the right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then to make him turn left, you pull on the left.
No, sure. I mean, yes, that's right. That's left. Well, anyway, you see, Jack, you're getting me all mixed up here talking like...
I bet he's 7 years old if he's a day.
Richard, how would you put him in reverse? You know, make him back up. How would you make
him... that's a... Yeah.
You want the horse to back up now. What are you going to do?
That's one thing I don't know.
Yeah.
All I wanted to know, brother.
All right, how about the rest of you children? Joel?
Wouldn't you say, whoa, and turn them around?
That's a very good answer, Joel. Harvey?
Maybe you'd say, ow, which is whoa spelled backwards.
Now, wait a minute.
I guess you would.
Ruthie?
Well, maybe you'd pull on both reins and sit way back and...
That would do it. Yes. Now, the next is a music question from Robert Mahaffey of Brooklyn, New York. Here are two famous love songs, and I want you to tell me what they are. I want you to tell me what they are, if you can. All right, here's the first one.
Yeah, just let me get started.
Yeah, all right.
This is my violin.
What, Shell?
Love and Bloom.
Love and Bloom, that's right. And Jack, I just want to say that you played that beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, let's have the second one.
Second one, okay.
Mm-hmm. Harvey?
Well, that's intermezzo, isn't it?
Intermezzo, that's right.
Is that what it was? How do you like that?
You know, Jack, that number sounded good, but...
But what?
Well, you played it beautifully, but you'd sound better with piano accompaniment.
This is where we read the dialogue here.
Now, we have a little girl here who's taking piano lessons, Jack, and she's only six. And, of course, won't play as well as you, but...
That's all. I'll help the kid out.
Oh, you're right. All right. Rochelle, honey, will you please go over to the piano and try to accompany Mr. Benny? By the way, what number would you like to play, Rochelle?
Fly the Bumblebee.
Oh, the Fly of the Bumblebee. All right. Is that all right with you, Mr. Benny?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, all right.
Any particular key or just the way it's written?
I imagine the way it's written. Is that right, Rochelle? All right, anytime you're ready, Mr. Benny.
Ready. Starts on the black keys there, Rochelle, then. I thought you said she could play the piano there.
Well, she can. The trouble was, Jack, that you were playing the Bee by Schubert instead of the Flight of the Bumblebee.
Well, I mean, what's a bee is a bee. I mean, I don't care. You know, whether it's Rimsky-Korsakov or not. You know, Benny isn't my right name either, you know.
Well, I know, Jack. I'll tell you what. You better come on back and sit down. Let's forget all about the violin.
Well, that's
it. Yeah, now, maybe you can do better at the teacher's desk, Jack, with all the answers written out for you. Here, now, you try on my cap and gown, and while you're putting them on, Bob Murphy has a question. What's your question, Bob?
I'll bet a lot of you folks ask this question when you hear me discuss vitamins on the Quiz Kid Show. I wonder if those one-a-day brand vitamins would do me any good. Well, there's only one way to answer that question. Try them and find out. We've devised an easy home vitamin test so you can do just that. Ask your druggist for the 60-capsule package of one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules, which will cost you just $2. Take one capsule each day for 60 days, and then see if your friends don't tell you you'll look better. See if you don't realize yourself that you'll feel better as far as your nerves, your energy, and your digestion are concerned. However, if you do not feel that one-a-day brand multiple vitamins have benefited you, then we certainly don't want you to pay for them. Just return the empty package to your druggist, and he'll refund your money. Start this convincing home vitamin test in your home right away. For vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is One A Day.
Thank you, Bob. And now, Quiz Kids, let's show Jack Benny how hard you can work. Jack, you're in that hat just a little bit too far. Yeah, that's it. Turn
Mary could see me now. She'd punch me right in the nose.
Well, all right, Jack. The class is all yours.
I think the question's over now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Quiz Kids, this first question comes from C.B. Tyler of Plainfield, New Jersey. That's Mary's home, by the way. What five-letter word is never pronounced right? Richard.
Wrong.
Hey. You're right, it's wrong. That's a joke, son. I keep hitting them, you keep... dodging. Well, you can get nervous on this program, too. You miss a word once in a while. How would you like in your show? You know, you can miss a word once. Here's a question from Mr. P.S. Reed of New York City. Who in literature might have written these ads? A diamond necklace somewhere between the minister's palace and the Rue de Martin. After the ball, Monday. Reward.
It was lost. You know.
Lost. The
yeah,
diamond
lost.
Necklace.
Yes.
Reward. What is that? What, Harvey?
Well, isn't that from the necklace by De Maupassant?
Very good. Very good. I don't have to pay the reward.
No, you don't have to. All right.
We'll let Guy do that one.
Yeah. We'll let
Guy.
Guy, not
Guy.
Guy.
Oh,
Guy. Yes. All right.
Here's the second one of that. What employer might have this ad put in the paper? Wanted, an intelligent and kind governess to care for my little girl. Address application to Thornfield Hall. Yes, Ruthie?
Well, that was from Jane Eyre, and Jane became a governess under Mr. Rochester. Miss Fairfax sent for him.
From who? Under who?
Mr. Rochester.
Wait, Rochester's been with me 9 years. Now, wait a minute. I know Rochester, you know. He wasn't working for anybody else.
And Mrs. Fairfax sent for her to take care of Adele.
Well, I don't know. Rochester never told me a word.
Well, look, Jack, this is about literature, you know. Ruthie is right. It was Mr. Rochester in a story.
Oh, I see. Well, Harvey has it.
Well, that was by Charlotte Bronte.
By who?
Charlotte Bronte.
I know it. You have to tell me who it's from.
You better get on to the next question.
Okay. Are we late?
No.
I tell you, on these programs, you know, you're liable to go into the next broadcast. Carl F. McCool of Birmingham, Alabama, sent in a math problem, but obviously has put down the wrong answer. At a family picnic, there were two grandfathers, two grandmothers, three fathers, three mothers, four sons, three daughters, and five grandchildren. How many sandwiches to provide each one present with one sandwich would be necessary? The answer given here is only 11, but of course that isn't enough. What is the right answer? Joel?
Well, you said there was two grandfathers and two grandmothers.
Yeah.
So that would make four persons already. And then you said there's three fathers and three mothers.
Yeah.
Well, the grandfathers are fathers of the fathers, and the grandmothers are mothers of the mothers. So actually, there's only one father and mother. So that makes two more persons to make it six persons.
Uh-huh.
And then there's four sons and three daughters.
But
father and mother are sons of son and daughter of the grand others. So that leaves really three sons and two daughters to make it 11. And since the grandchildren are also those, there's only 11 and for one sandwich for each. It is 11 sandwiches. He's right.
You mean the right answer is 11?
Yes.
Isn't that funny? 11. I had 3,526. Now we got 11. What? Funny. Maybe I must have subtracted the subjunctive in there, I think. The next question, though?
Next question, Jack.
This question from E.M. Peck of New York is about movies. What movies do these sounds suggest? Here's the first one. A young cat going meow. Oh, do I do that?
No.
Oh. Nobody tells me these things. All right, the first sound. Well, Harvey, what?
How about Kitty?
Very good. Paulette Goddard and
Ray
Milland.
Yep.
Very good. Could be Kitty Foyle, Captain Canary, Black Cat.
My mother's name is Kitty, too.
Oh, isn't that my... Well, I'm very glad to know you, Harvey.
Say, Jack, what? Excuse me, but let the sound effects man handle the next sound effect. All right.
You know, I'm not getting paid for this. You know, I do this for nothing, this whole thing. All right, the second sound effect. Go ahead. Yes, Harvey?
Well, the first picture with a plot was called The Great Train Robbery. How about that?
Well, that could be. That could be all right.
Well,
there
now,
might be another
wait,
one.
Pardon me again, Jack, but we didn't finish the sound effect. So,
in all fairness,
I think we should let the sound effect man finish it.
See? I'll be glad when I'm on my car driving home tomorrow.
All right, let's have the sound effect again.
I know the answer. Nah. Adele? Oh, Joel.
For whom the bell tolls?
Now, that's pretty good, though. That's pretty good. Now, the answer is Whistle Stop with George Rapp. But Joel's was good. Didn't you think so? I thought that was a very good answer. Yeah. Now, the third sound effect. What is it, Harvey?
Mind of that from the first one. The horn blows at midnight.
Very, very good. Very good. Very good.
Pardon me,
that
Jack.
That sound effect was better than my whole picture.
Pardon me, Jack.
What?
But the quiz kid missed the second part of that question from E.M. Peck of New York. So that means Mr. Peck gets a big zenith from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. It's a $200 radio phonograph combination with two FM bands and featuring a sensational new way to play records with the Cobra tone arm. Mail a good question to Quiz Kid Chicago friends. Even if you don't win the big super-duper radio phonograph or Stumping the Children, you do get a brand new Zenith Standard and Shortwave Clipper Portable if we use your question on the show. And now then, Jack, let's have a short rest period for the Quiz Kids and a short message from Bob Murphy.
No one can dispute the fact that many, many people need more vitamins than their food supplies. Government surveys prove that 3 out of 4 working people are vitamin deficient. Are you one of the many who are not feeling as well as you could because you're low in vitamins? Well, let me tell you about an easy home vitamin test that will help you answer that question for yourself. Here's all you do. Ask your druggist for the $2 package of one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. In each one-a-day brand capsule, you get 8 different vitamins. And in that $2 package, you get a 2-month supply. Take one capsule each day for 60 days. Then, if you aren't convinced that you have been benefited by one-a-day brand multiple vitamins, you just take that empty package back to your druggist, and he'll refund your money. If you do not need extra vitamins, we don't want you to pay for them. So start this easy home vitamin test now. Just ask your druggist for one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. And now, Mr. B, you may proceed with the erudition.
Now, before I leave this classroom, Mr. Weitzler, there's a matter I want to clear up with you. It's come to my attention you've been going around telling people that the contest on my program, when the Benny Kids walloped you, Quiz Kids, 6-3, wasn't fair. Is that true? Have you been saying that? Well, why? Why did you say that?
Well, because the score wasn't fair. Because it should have at least been 5-3.
Yeah?
And, the contest wasn't fair.
It wasn't fair.
You told your gang the answers before they could answer the question.
Richard, I want you to know that we were absolutely on the level, and we were working under a handicap. My cast is dumb. Well, first thing, it's the first time anybody, Richard, ever suspected the Benny program was rehearsed. Is that supposed to go on there? A year later, he gives me this. I thought I was asking another question.
Well, here's the next one.
What?
You have this right here.
This one here?
Mm. Okay. I want to use this question about Shakespeare from the Reverend Clyde W. Earhart of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, because it will help me in the fall. Next season, I hope to make the Benny program even more cultural than it has been in the past. The only Shakespeare my writers have heard of is the ball player from Notre Dame. I want you to give me your favorite Shakespeare quotation, something you think I can use on my show, and I'll work them in. Come on. Joe?
Well, I have several. One's is Mark Anthony. funeral. The grand Roman's countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them.
Was that
the
from
good
Shakespeare?
Is often their vault.
I thought that was from Bob Hope's new book.
Let it be with Caesar.
All right, school's out, kid. School's out. Hooray, school's out. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's head for the playground.
Well, now, wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute. The questions are over when the bell rings, but we still have to make out our report cards and announce the winners who come back next week.
Oh, goody. You mean maybe I can come back next week and get a savings bond?
No, Jack. The makers of Alka-Seltzer will give a $100 savings bond to each quiz kid, but that's only for the children.
Oh. I couldn't be a quiz kid.
No, Jack. You see, our age limit is 16.
Oh. See, I could have been here last year. Wouldn't have been one of them. I suppose you say I can't be a quiz kid just because I'm married. Joe, do you mind if I'm serious?
I know, Jack. Can you be?
Well, I'll try. Believe me, I'm very serious when I say that I was delighted to come to Chicago to be with the quiz kids tonight. We visited back and forth 3 or 4 times on the air, and it's always been a lot of fun. Joe, remember the time you and the quiz kids stayed at our house when you were in Hollywood? Well, I fell in love with the quiz kids then. They weren't the same children because quiz kids do grow up. But I see that the new ones are the same as the old kids. The kids you'd be proud to have for your own. Which reminds me, Mary and I do have a youngster of our own, you know. And Rochelle, my little Joan, plays the piano, too. So you two kids will have to get together. I know a fond uncle never goes visiting without a present in his pocket. So here's a monogram ring for each of you from your Uncle Jackson.
Well, that was very thoughtful of you, Jack. And because you waited until the examination was over before you mentioned the rings, no one can suspect you of trying to influence the children during the broadcast.
The rings cost me a fortune.
Folks, I wish you could all see these attractive rings. They're gold with the children's initials on the outside and inscribed from Jack Benny. I know the quiz kids will treasure them, Jack. Well, our judges have tonight's scores ready, so let's find out which quiz kids come back next Sunday. The judges say you missed one question tonight. Joel was first, Harvey second, and Richard and Ruthie tied for third. With you four children in next week's classroom will be Patrick Conlon, age 9. Yes, that's the class for next Sunday. And I'm sorry Jack Benny can't stay over to lend because we have some special shenanigans planned for Father's Day. The quiz kid fathers will be in on the fun, so I don't want any of them playing hooky next week. And Jack, I just, I won't even try to tell you how much we enjoyed your company tonight. You're a swell person. We're awfully glad you were here. Especially since you were nice enough to delay your well-earned summer vacation to be with us. You know, our quiz kids enjoy these Sunday night fun sessions so much that they're going to stay on all summer. Yeah? So, in the meantime, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids until next Sunday. Good night, kids.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
And we'll dismiss you, Jack Benny, until next semester. Good night, Jack.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
Quiz Kids every Sunday, and to your old friends Lum and Abner every Monday through Thursday. And folks, as you near vacation time, don't forget this little rhyme. When you're starting on a trip, put Alka-Seltzer in your grip. Instead of one, next time, buy two. It's the wisest thing to do. Two packages instead of one will help ensure vacation fun. Maybe you'll be kept awake when tired muscles, pain and ache. Occasional headaches might come along at night. So when those discomforts bring you grief, have Alka-Seltzer for relief. Bob Murphy speaking.
The preceding program was released earlier today and transcribed at that time for this special presentation to you.